Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuva Samech. We are starting on the Mishnah and Testament base, so right about a third of the way down the on the Amud. So continuation of the Gemara's description of the responsibilities that husband has towards wife and wife has towards husband. And with this Mishnah, we're going to be discussing in the direction of wife towards husband. So wife marries her husband. So wife marries her husband. So when the husband marries a woman, so there are going to be numerous obligations that are going to be incumbent on both of them. We have been discussing in detail the reciprocal nature of a lot of these obligations. Yesterday we went into really fine detail regarding the fact that he's going to be giving her mizonos and he's going to be giving her ma'akasav, which is basically an allowance. And in exchange for that, so she is going to have ma'asiyadah and moser ma'asiyadah. So that was a very detailed discussion that we had in yesterday's daf. Meanwhile, in today's daf, so now we're going to be talking about her obligations and her responsibilities. Something described in yesterday's daf is Maisi Adah. We've been now discussing it a number of times. So what is Maisi Adah? What exactly does that entail? So let's begin the Mishnah. Eila Malachah Shaisha Osalabala. So these are the list of malachas that a woman has to do for her husband. So whether or not these are obligations that are minatara or not minatara, so it's open for a discussion and for a debate, meaning obviously in the Torah itself, so we get no clear picture in terms of what exactly she needs to do. In fact, it's not even clear in the Torah whether or not she needs to do anything. But nevertheless, there are what we've been describing, Maisi Adaha. There are basically things that she has to be doing for her husband. And so the Mishnah over here gives us a descriptive list. So she shows the Labala Tochenes. So she's going to be grinding the wheat. And Ofen, she's going to be baking the bread. Umechabes, and she'll be doing the laundry. And Mivashel, she'll be cooking. And Manikas, but now she'll be nursing the child. And Amatzaso, Amita, she'll be making the bed. And she'll be spinning spinning wool. So these are the basic activities that a woman has to do in terms of amounts. So stay tuned. That's going to be coming up. We'll be doing that at a later point in time. So now, let's say he brings a shivcha into the marriage. It happens to be that she's marrying somebody now with a little bit of money, and now there's a shivcha who is part of the family unit. So what that shivcha is able to do is it takes some of the responsibilities off of her plate. She doesn't have to grind, she doesn't have to bake, nor do the laundry. Shtayim, if there are two shvachos in the picture now, in mevashos ve'imanikas benach, she no longer needs to cook, nor does she need to nurse. Now, nursing obviously is something which is very personal, and generally speaking, the mother's going to be nursing the child, but if there's a shivcha, and obviously we're describing a wet nurse over here, so then the shivcha will take care of it. Shalosh, now if there are shalosh shvachos in the picture, emas aslamita, there's no longer need to make the bed. The v'enos abitzemer, nor does she have to spin wool as well. Arba, if there are four shvachos, yoshevet bikatadra. So what she's now able to do is sit on a throne. And in other words, she can now relax. She has no work that she needs to do. In other words, she happens to marry a guy who brought four shvachos into the marriage, and now she can enjoy. And Rabbi Lazar Amar, Afilichnis Lomei Shvachos. Rabbi Lazar says, look, even if there are 100 Shvachos, so Kofal Asos Betzemer, she has to be doing some basic amount of work, specifically that of the wool. Shabbatel Mivili Dezima. Because what's going to happen with all that idle time? Nothing's good going to happen with all that idle time. It'll lead to Zima. It'll lead to promiscuous relationships and it's just not good. So, in other words, she needs to be kept busy. Shimon Gamliel Amar Afa Madras Isha Malasos Malacha Yotzi V'Tein Ksuva Shabbatal Mi V'Lidei Shiamum. Shimon Gamliel offers another halachic point, which is extraordinarily related. And that is that, let's say a husband decides that he's married to this woman and he doesn't want to get any anah from her, for whatever reason. Okay, animosity, whatever the motivation was, and he makes a neder. And through the neder, he's not going to be getting any anah from his wife. And so therefore, her malacha that she's going to do is fruitless and pointless, because he can't get benefit from it. So now, Yotzi v'tein ksuva. So now, he's got to divorce her, and he's got to provide for her ksuva as well. Now, why does he have to divorce her? Meaning, he just made a neder, because what's going to happen now is that she's not going to be doing work. She can't be doing any work. He made a neder that he's not going to be benefiting any of the work that she does. And so therefore, that idleness, the fact that she's not working, so that's going to lead to insanity. Okay. So there are a number of points to consider in the course of our Mishnah, but really the truth of the matter is that for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be focusing mostly on nursing as being one of the responsibilities that a woman has towards her husband. In other words, that not only is she going to be making the baby, but on top of that, she's also going to be nursing as well. But it's interesting, though, because nursing is viewed as a shibud that she has towards her husband. So we're going to be discussing that mostly over the course of today's daf. But before so, just one point the Gemara wants to clean up. Tochenes. So sakadach, it sounds like she's grinding. Now, grinding back in the day, meaning we don't know from this, but grinding back in the day, so sometimes it was done by hand, but most of the time it was done by a machine. I say machine, obviously a machine back in the good old days, but a machine, meaning that they had some sort of wheel that turned and did the grinding. And what turned the wheel? So usually it was some sort of water. So via the force of water, so they harnessed the force of the water in order to grind wheat. And so the idea that she's going to be doing the tochen, she's going to be grinding the wheat. What do you mean? She's grinding. In other words, the machine's going to be doing it. Ela'ima matchenes. So what she's going to be doing is matchenes. In other words, she'll be doing all the other stages of the grinding. And meaning the grinding itself is going to be done by the machine, but she will do everything. In other words, the preparation before, the preparation afterwards. She'll do everything that is necessary in order to get the grinding going. Okay, good. Ibai Semer Berecha Diyada, the Gemara gives an alternative explanation, and that is maybe the Mishnah is in fact talking about a grinder that's done by hand. Okay, good. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so a couple of approaches in terms of how to handle the grinding. Our Mishnah is not going like the Shita Rabbi Chia, meaning our Mishnah clearly is of the position that there is necessary activities, responsibilities that a woman has to do. And basically, they're forms of malacha, they're forms of work. And so our Mishnah gave a list of things that the woman has to do. Now, obviously, it's to keep her busy, but that's obviously not the point. The point is that it's reciprocity. In other words, he's going to be taking care of her. And so therefore, in turn, she needs to be taking care of him. And therefore, the list of malachas that are done. The Gemara simply is pointing out that Rabbi Chia would seemingly not be in agreement with this, because what does Rabbi Chia say? Didn't he, Rabbi Chia, ain't Isha Eliyofi, as far as woman is concerned. So the purpose of the woman is beauty. I'll explain that better in just a moment. Einisha el labanim, as far as women are concerned, so they're there to produce children. V'dni Rabbi Chia, einisha el tachshite isha, as far as a woman is concerned, so it's important to get her jewelry. V'dni Rabbi Chia, rotzei sheyadein es ishto, somebody who wants to beautify his wife, so yabishen ekli pishto, so we'll have her dress in linen, fine linen. And rotzei sheyabin es bito, yachlenu afrochim. In terms of complexion of the children, so afrochim, so chicks is good for the complexion. Okay, birds. And also a good amount of milk going into the diet right before she develops and she matures. Okay. So according to Rabbi Chia, a woman is only for her beauty. Now, at face value, Rabbi Chia is saying something which seems to be extraordinarily superficial. But the point of Rabbi Chia is as follows. In other words, as far as the functionality of a woman vis-a-vis her husband, towards her husband, is that, in other words, she's going to be providing for him not only an Ezer Kenegdo, but on top of that also, it's going to be able to channel and harness his Yetzirah, right? Men have Yetzirah, women also have Yetzirah as well. But in other words, but she's going to be channeling his Yetzirah. So the fact that she, to him, is going to be beautiful, and now he's going to be able to channel his Yetzirah to her and not be distracted by other women, so that's going to be an important role. And then he quotes over here in the name of Rishonim, also Achronim as well. So it's quoted that but that is the back and forth in the Gemara. It's not really a back and forth, but there are two points that Rabbi Chia made. That as far as a woman is concerned, so her purpose is Yofi, and her purpose also is to bear children, right? Those two points are not in agreement with one another. Meaning, obviously, once a woman gets pregnant, so that it will be detracting from a Yofi. So that's exactly the point. Meaning that on one hand, so she is there to channel Yetzirah and to make sure that he is focused on her, to the exclusion of other women. But at the same time, however, she also has to produce children. Either production of children is going to be detracting from her beauty. Okay, but that's also a responsibility as well. Now, we've discussed this before. In Yevamos, we discussed this extensively. Whose mitzvah is it in order to have children? So it's his mitzvah, it's not her mitzvah, but we discussed in some detail that although it's not her mitzvah, but obviously she is, biologically and also halachically as well, She's providing an assist. She is a misayel advar mitzvah. Okay, anyway, but that's a separate point which doesn't need to be explored right now. Anyway, but all I'm doing right now is just giving some basic understanding of the Rabbi Chiya position. That means that according to Rabbi Chiya, so since her jobs are for Yofi and for childbearing, so therefore she doesn't have to be doing work. That's Rabbi Chiya. And the whole point of the Gemara is our Mishnah is not following the sheet of Rabbi Chiya. Okay. Umenika is Bina. Okay, where are we right now? We're on the bottom of New Testament Bays, and we're going to be beginning now a lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding nursing. For the remainder of today's daf, it's going to be one topic and one topic only, and that is going to be the woman's obligation and responsibility of nursing the baby. So, lema masis ndelo kebe shamed detanya. Nazir shalolanik is bana. Let's say the woman makes a neder. She's not going to be nursing. Be shamay armim shamet esdad mipiv. So, according to Beit Shammai, the neder is chal. And therefore, she's going to be removing her dad from the baby, meaning she doesn't have to nurse. So and according to Beit Shammai, what about the shibud? So Beit Shammai is of the position she doesn't have a shibud. And Beit Hillel omrim kofel minikasal. And Beit Hillel says, what do you mean? In other words, she's going to be nursing. She made a neder, she's not going to nurse. Okay, your neder against the shibud that you already have. In other words, she already is responsible to do it. This is part of the definition of marriage. And therefore, she can't make a neder that goes against any one of her shibudim. So, nizgarsha. And now, what if they get a divorce? So, enakofa. So at that point in time, she no longer is married to him, obviously, through divorce. And therefore, sure, there's no longer a shibud. And once there's no longer a shibud, so they can't force her to nurse. V'imayam akira. However, once the baby now has recognition of its mother, and the baby now will not be nursing from anyone else, so no sein la schara, v'kofa minikaso. So at that point in time now, for the welfare of the baby, so now the mother is going to have to nurse. She's divorced, and she no longer is responsible to do so. Okay, but now at this point in time, the baby needs to live. And so as far as nursing, the divorced mother, will nurse, and her ex-husband is going to pay her to do so. Mimnei asakana, and all this obviously is in order so that the baby's life will be preserved. So what do we have right now? A basic machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. According to Beit Shammai, a married woman does not have a shibud towards her husband in order to have to nurse a child. Okay. Let's leave it at that. Meaning, according to Beit Shammai, there's no shibud. Difficult to understand why there's no shibud, but that sheet is Beit Shammai. And Beit Hillel says that there is a shibud. So, as we learn our Mishnah, it's a pretty reasonable statement. The Gemara just made it. That our Mishnah is following the sheet of Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, Afilo Tema Beis Shammai. Interesting. So the Gemara could have just easily concluded, yeah, you're right, our Mishnah is going like Beis Hillel. And anyway, that's the accepted halacha. But meanwhile, the Gemara says, no, maybe you could say our Mishnah is going like Beis Shammai. And that is Vahacha B'maiskinan. Kigon Shinadrahi V'kayam Lahu. So it could be that we're talking about she made a neder and he was Mekayim the neder. And once again, we get to one of those classic discussions, classic debates, in terms of where she makes a neder, but he hears and he's Mekayim the neder. And now what? So, Beis Shammai is of the position, who knows Sein Etzba Ben Shineha. Ubeis Hillel Savre, he Nasna Etzba Ben Shineha. And here we go. Very simple debate in terms of whose fault is it? She makes a neder, he is Mekayim the neder. So who could we assign blame to? Maybe that's a machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So the Gemara says, "V'niflegu b'ksuva ba'ama." So the Gemara says, "Okay, if this is really the debate, why are we having such a subspecific type of debate regarding nursing? I'm not nursing the baby. I'm making a neder that I'm not nursing the baby. In other words, if the issue is she makes a neder and he's mekayim the neder, so we could discuss it on the broadest of scales." In other words, she makes a neder in general, right? I'm not having you're not getting any benefit from me. I'm not getting any benefit from you. She makes some kind of neder like that. And he's Mekayim the neder. And now, just discuss it on the broader scale. You don't have to go into nursing. You could discuss it on the broadest of terms. Now, whose fault is it? If it's her fault, she forfeits her ksuva. If it's his fault, she doesn't forfeit her ksuva. Just talk like that. And va'otanya beishamay omri mena menika. And on top of that, Beit Shammai is of the position that she doesn't have to nurse, and even if she doesn't make a neder, so ella machvarta deloke Beit Shammai, masisin deloke Beit Shammai. So the Gemara says, okay. So for a moment we thought that maybe our Mishnah is going like Beit Shammai. The Gemara basically says no. There's no other way to say it. There's no alternative. Our Mishnah is not in fact going like Beit Shammai, but rather our Mishnah's position is like Beit Hillel that part of the shibudim that a woman has, a wife has to her husband, is she has to nurse the baby. Now, im haya makira. Now, what we said is that if upon divorce, if the baby recognizes as a mother, so now the mother has to nurse the baby. She no longer is married to him. She's no longer obligated as a shibud towards him. So, enachinami. So she'll nurse the baby because the baby's got to live. And she can and demand, she and is expected to receive payment from her ex-husband because now that they're no longer married and she no longer has a shibud, so now it's a service and she'll get paid for that service. So ad kama. Okay, Gemara wants to know now, this is developmental psychology, if you will. This is just simple, this is a simple debate over here in terms of when is the baby going to start recognizing its own mother. Gemara's assumption over here is that it's not going to be immediately after birth, but it'll take some time for the baby to develop some form of recognition of its very own mother, vis-a-vis nursing. Okay, good. So, Amarava, Amarav, Yirmi, Abaraba, Amarav, Shlosha, Chadashim. So, one opinion is 3 months. Shmuel Amar, Shloshim Yom, according to Shmuel, 30 days. Rav Yitzchak Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Chamishim Yom, 50 days. Amar Shimi Barabai, Halacha Rav Yitzchak, Shamar Mishim Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, and the halacha is that's 50 days. So from birth until 50 days, the baby is not expected to recognize its own mother, and therefore you can get any woman who is nursing to nurse this baby. In other words, you can hire any wet nurse, and the argument of, yeah, but it's only going to recognize its own mother up until 50 days is simply not an argument. And after 50 days, there really is a chance that's going to, it will only recognize and will only nurse from its own mother. Now, Bishlam Rav, Rav Yochanan, Kol Chavachat Ki Chorfei. Now, the sheet of Rav and Rav Yochanan, the Gemara says, I get it. In other words, we're talking 3 months, we're talking 50 days, and basically, whenever you're talking about development, so development is done, there's no absolutes, and there's no standard units, and some babies develop quicker than others. But at least the range of anywhere between 50 days to 3 months, that the Gemara says, I can entertain that as a range. But El L'Shmuel, but Shmuel says 30 days, Ki Agavna Mimishkachala, Shmuel's position is just simply outside the range. Right. Again, the Gemara is assuming certain empirical data, which, you know, may or may not be supported by what we know nowadays, but it doesn't matter. In other words, we're working within, obviously, the Gemara's assumptions. The Gemara's assumptions is that 50 days to 3 months, so that is a time in which there is recognition of the baby in terms of who its mother is. And therefore, the baby, after anywhere between 15 months to 3 days, is not going to be nursing from any other woman. But this position of Shmuel, that's only the 30 days, like, what is that? So Kiyasa, Kiyasa Rami Bar Cheska Amar Lo Tetzitzin Olahani Klal Dekayo Yehuda Achem Ishmael Deshmol. So anything you're hearing from my brother Yehuda, right? Rami Bar Cheska saying that. In other words, Rami Bar Cheska and Yehuda Bar Cheska are brothers, and they were both learning by Shmuel. And over here, Rami Bar Cheska says you'll ignore when you're hearing my brother quoting Shmuel, you'll ignore him. So, but rather Hachi Amar Shmuel Kol Zman Shemakira. So there is no absolute time. In other words, basically recognition. In other words, recognition is when recognition is when the baby elects not to be nursing from any other woman. So at that point in time, you can now say, okay, we've achieved the point of recognition. Again, lamai nafkamina. What difference does it make? So it makes a difference regarding a woman who was divorced. So once a woman is divorced, so now she can turn to her husband and say, look, not interested in nursing, right? I understand it's my baby, it's your baby, but I don't have a shibud anymore and I'm not interested in nursing. And at that point in time, because they're no longer married, so now he's going to have to pay her. And it's at the point of where the baby is not going to be nursing from anyone else. When is that point going to come? When it comes. Right. So again, we're putting aside all the maternal instincts, and we're putting aside all the rachmanis that a mother has towards her own baby. In other words, we're just looking at the obligation, the Torah obligation. So, does a mother have a Torah obligation to feed her own child? Right. The answer seems to be no. I know. In other words, this is the kind of Gemara where, practically speaking, in other words, a woman's going to want to feed her baby. And you know, but if you're boiling it down, which is what we're doing right now, so right now we're distilling. So and you want to know now, is there an absolute obligation for a mother to support and feed her own child? The answer seemingly is no. The father has an obligation to feed the child. Now you recall, you remember, so that's because, right? And again, it's what's it called? It's very legal, but we already went over this. The father has an obligation to support the child up until six because the father has an obligation to support his wife. And as a function of supporting your wife, so the very small child, so comes into that obligation by extension of the wife. You're obligated to feed your wife, and also you're obligated to feed, right, the very small child. After 6 years of age, no longer is the father obligated. And then we go back to the Gemara that we did back on Daf Nun. 10 days ago, the Gemara talked about Takanas Usha after 6 years of age. So the father is pressured to go ahead and continue supporting his child up until Bar and Bas Mitzvah. Okay, but anyway, that's the father's obligation. And now, as Ben's pointing out, and it seems to be a really good point, and that is that there is no absolute obligation for the mother to be feeding their own child. Her own child. Okay. Ahi, a divorced woman. The asala kamid Shmuel goes to Shmuel Amarlei, Lerev Dimi Bar Yosef Zilbatka. Okay, so we need to do a bedika. In other words, we need to know, has the child reached the age? In other words, it's a baby. But the baby is now, whatever, a month old, 2 months old, whatever the case is. So has the baby reached the point of recognition? So, and do a bedika. Oza, azal, osvebe, bedar denashe. And this is going to be your first, and I think it's your only lineup in all of Shas. Okay, but basically we're doing a lineup. Okay. So in order to determine whether or not the baby's recognizing its mother. Vishakli levrevakamadale alayu. So, and now it takes the baby and puts it in front of each of these women respectively. And now is the baby going to have any kind of cues in terms of recognizing whether or not who his own mother is? So as the baby now is drawn closer to its own biological mother. So now the mother's kind of like hiding a little bit, like trying to coward a little bit so that the baby doesn't recognize it. The mother's refusing to make eye contact with the baby. So Amar la netofe necha kum dere brech. And so who is charged with the examination? Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi says to the mother, no, it's obvious, you're the mother. And what you're going to do now is you're going to go pick up your child. Okay. So in other words, the child did achieve the point of recognition, and the mother didn't want to nurse the child. Okay. But in other words, right now she doesn't have a choice. In other words, the baby needs to live. And the mother needs to nurse the baby, and the baby's not going to be nursing from anybody else. Okay, we've reached that point in time. And we'll add, because we just learned it moments earlier, and the father's going to pay her, because we're talking now about them no longer being married. Suma manayada marashi berecha v'tama. Gemara, interesting comment of the Gemara over here, and that is that if the baby's blind, still there are other senses of the baby that helps it recognize its mother, both through smell and through the taste. Right, Tana Rabbanan Yoni Tinik Vaholech Ad Esrim V'Arba'in Chodesh. Okay. At what point in time does the mother have to nurse the child? So the numbers that we're going to be learning right now are going to be much later than what we're normally used to in Bizmanazeb. Bizmanazeb, for those mothers who do nurse, right, a year. I don't know the stats nowadays, but if I'm going to be guessing, I'll guess about a year nowadays. So back in the day, so it was much more than a year. So right, I've told this story before, and I apologize if it serves as a total waste of time. But people coming from impoverished countries, so they're used to nursing for a much longer period of time because food is at a scarcity. Manny Ramirez, okay. For those of you who do not know baseball, it's fine. You get a pass over here. But anyway, right, player for the Red Sox. So he grew up in a very impoverished home. So he remembers as a young boy, he was nursing from his mother. Okay, I read an article a long time ago. Anyway, it was normal. Back in the day, I'm not even sure if poverty had to do with it, but back in the day, it was very normal for people to be nursing to a much older age. So over here, we're talking about responsibility and obligation. So the question is that when is that going to go to? So Tana Rabbanan, Yoni Tinik V'Holech, Ad Esrim V'Arba'in Chodesh, 24 months. Mikan V'Elech. Now, Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Now, Rabbi Elazar says that after 24 months, so at that point in time, it's Yonik Sheketz. Now, Yonik Sheketz meaning that you're nursing from something which is prohibited to you. In other words, it's quasi-prohibited. Now, I say quasi-prohibited. It could be full prohibition, right? Unclear from the Gemara, right? The language was Ki Yonik Sheketz. So a little bit unclear in terms of how prohibited we're talking about, but no good. Meaning, shouldn't be nursing at that after that point in time for reasons which we're going to try to articulate. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Afilu Arba V'Chamishanim. And Rabbi Yeshua says 4 years, 5 years of age, maybe can nurse until that point in time, no problem at all. However, Piresh, Le'achar Esim V'Arba Chodesh V'Chazar Kiyonuk Sheketz. However, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, you can go 4 or 5 years, but once there's a significant break, and you know what the Gemara is going to do, because that's what the Gemara does, and that is, it'll give us the amount of time a significant break is, but once you've arrived at a significant break, so then at that point in time, you can no longer nurse after 24 months are up. So in other words, the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua is that nursing can continue 4 or 5 years, and that's fine, and there's no problem with it whatsoever, but once you pause after 24 months, that's it. Yeah, at that point in time, you have to stop. Amar Mar. So the Gemara now is going to revisit this Braisa and the positions in the Braisa and give a little more clarity. So mi kan ve'elach ki yonik sheketz v'reminu yachol yechal v'malchi shtayim tamei. Okay, milk from a mother, from a human being. Okay, asur or mutter. Okay, it's a simple question. Okay, and, right, a lot of this question cuts into some questions which are really difficult to answer. Let's consider the following. Okay, before we get to the milk of a human, let's just for a moment talk about the milk of a cow. Okay, milk of a cow, mutter or asur? We all know the answer. It's mutter. Okay, how about milk of a pig? Asur. Well, what's the difference? We all know. It's a Gemara in Bechoras that anything which comes from a kosher animal is kosher. Anything coming from a non-kosher animal is not kosher. Kol ha-yotze mitar tar, kol ha-yotze mitame tame. Good. So that's by cow and that's by pig. Okay, now, let's reset our question. How about the milk of a human? And I know it forces us to ask a really uncomfortable question. Meaning, what about the human? Meaning, is the human something which is usher or something which is mutter, or maybe category number three, which is simply not applicable. Meaning, right, in other words, even though as part of the klalos, right, the Torah tells us that you're going to be eating human flesh, but maybe that's not even, meaning it doesn't belong in this discussion in terms of heter or isser regarding human flesh. Okay. So, right, I'm sorry, it's a really indelicate discussion, but, you know, it's definitely part of the Gemara's consideration. So, the milk that comes from a mother, asur or mutter, that's what the Bryce is discussing. It's interesting. Human beings are described as what? Those who walk on two legs. Because that's a human. So so tame. I might have thought a havamina, that's tame. So vidinu ma behema shikalta bemaga echmarta bechalva dum shechmarta bemago inudin shetachmir bechalva. So the Gemara says, look, we could make a kavachomer, a really interesting kavachomer, right? When it comes to an animal metame while it's alive, never. And yet the milk of a non kosher animal is not kosher. A human who gives off tumah while they're alive. Think about the many different ways a woman can be tummy while she's alive. Through zava, through nida, mitzora, etc., etc. Well, I think I covered them. But anyway, but you get the point. So, if there is more tumah, but tumah over here meaning as tumah tahara, if there's tumah by a human, if there's more tumah by a human than there is by an animal, so then I might have constructed the argument, so the milk of the human should be asur as well. So tamalamar esagamal kimala gerahu. So esagamal kimala gerahu. And who? Tamei ve'in chalav mehachishtayim, tamei ala tahor. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's tamei, but in other words, the who is a miyut. Only the milk of a camel is going to be asur, but the milk of a human is going to be mutter. In other words, we have a drasha via miyut that tells us that the milk of a camel is going to be mutter. Sorry. Let me say that correctly. The drasha that tells us that the milk of a camel is going to be asur, and the who, the miyut, is coming to tell me that the milk of a human is going to be mutter. So yochol otzi es achalav. Sheinu shava b'kol v'lo otzi es adam shu shava b'kol. Okay, but what about the blood? So tamalomer who tamei ve'in dam hachishayim tamei el tahor. So the blood of a human is also not going to be asur as well. Amar Rav Sheshe says, "Afilu mitzvos pri she'ein bo," and Rav Sheshe says that afilu mitzvos pri she'ein bo, meaning there's not even an issur derabbanan. So, where are we right now? We learned via drasha that milk of a human is mutter, right? Blood of a human is also mutter as well, and we're going to come back to that point in just a moment. But milk of a human is going to be mutter. So now we have to go back and we have to revisit what we learned just moments earlier. Because what do we say? After, according to Rabbi Eliezer, after 2 years, kiyonik shekets, right? In other words, it's usher. And 4 or 5 years, 4 or 5 years, according to Rabbi Yoshua. But once it's prisha, so then it's kiyonik shekets. Meaning, according to these Tanayim, it's usher for a person to be nursing from a woman. And meanwhile, we just learned that the milk of a human is not usher, it's mutter. So the Gemara says, okay, lokasha. So had the parish. So as far as the Brisa is concerned, that the chalav isha is muteris ba'achila, so that's talking about the parish. So we're talking about where the milk was expressed from the mother. So the mother already expressed the milk and now has it in a cup. So and that is going to be mutter. So and the Brisa says that you're not allowed to nurse after 24 months, the low parish, meaning that's nursing directly from the mother. So in other words, what we're dunning over here is the following. The milk itself is mutter, right? And once it's expressed from the mother, so at that point in time, mutter and mutter to everybody. And there's not going to be any discrimination regarding how old you are. And in other words, the milk itself is mutter. But nursing from the mother. So for that, in other words, it becomes a point in time where it's inappropriate. Meaning not the milk, but the act of nursing. Nursing itself is going to be inappropriate. When does it become inappropriate? Okay, so the Tanaim are deliberating and debating exactly at what point in time it becomes inappropriate. That's the issue. So, v'chilufa b'dam. Now, it happens to be the exact opposite as it relates to blood. K'detanya dam shal gabi kikar. So, gora v'ochlo, shebein ha-shemayim, motzit soveina choshesh. Now, when it comes to blood, so the halach is, we discussed this back in Krisus, I remember. So when you have blood, so even though human blood may ikar hadin is not usur, but once the blood is separated from your body, i.e., let's say there's blood on the challah, okay, whatever, there's some bleeding of the gums, and now there's blood on the challah, and now you can't put that piece of challah in your mouth. Now you could scrape off the challah. Doesn't make the whole challah usur. You just scrape off the part of the challah that has blood, and the rest of it you'll eat. But in other words, once the blood is parish, you can't eat it. Masha'en came when it comes to the when it comes to the blood that's in your mouth, i.e., your gums are bleeding, and now you want to ingest that. That's fine. So in other words, by blood, well, if it's anal parish, it's mutter. But once it's parish, it's usser. And by milk, we said the exact opposite, meaning the milk drinking milk from the tap. So that's usser. Meaning again, for a non-infant, so that's going to be usser. But drinking milk once it's separated from the woman, so that's fine. That's mutter. Amar Mar Rav Yeshua Amar Afilo Arba V'Chamisham and V'Atayim Rav Yeshua Amar Afilo Chavilas Oktefo the right Idi V'Idi Chachirahu. Okay, the Gemara for a moment thinks that when he's riding on the shoulder, the baby's older. The Gemara says baby's not. No, we're talking about a 4 or 5 year old that's riding on the shoulders. In other words, even at that point in time, the baby can nurse. Amar Rav Yosef Halacha Rav Yeshua, and the Gemara says Allah is like Rav Yeshua, baby can nurse up until 4 or 5 years of age, as long as there was no break. Tanya Rab Mirena Somer Goneach. Let's say somebody is having some sort of congestion of the heart. And so Yonek Chalav Shabbos. So as a remedy, so the doctor back then suggested, you know what? So what you're going to need to be doing is you're going to be nursing. The problem, of course, is that it's Shabbos, and on Shabbos you're not allowed to nurse. You're not allowed to milk an animal on Shabbos. So yonik chalav b'Shabbos. What you could do is you could directly nurse from the udder on Shabbos. So my time, so yonik mefari kalacha yad uva makom tzara logaz rabbanan. So over here, so you're doing that as a but the act of yonika, the act of milking, is mefarik. And mefarik, let's say it's simple. In other words, there are many different ways to say it, but let's say it's simple. It's a talad of dash. It's a subcategory of the malach of dash. Dash is when you take something and separate it from its shell. So over here, that is milking. And so in of itself, that would be an isser. However, if you're doing it now because you're uncomfortable on Shabbos, and you're doing it kala'achar yad, you're doing it in a non-conventional manner, meaning that you're drinking it directly from the goat itself. So now you're doing it as a kala'achar yad, as a shinui. So therefore, b'makom tzar lo gazru rabbanan. So Amar Rav Yosef halacha k'Rabbi Marenus, and that in fact is a halacha.
We passing that if a curtain does an iser in based in
the city. No. The Gemara over here is not talking about a cotton. The Gemara over here is talking about an adult. I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear. we're talking over here about an adult is having some chest pains and obviously it goes without saying, but I'll say it. In other words, obviously if it's a sakana, so then you don't have to worry about shinui, you don't have to worry about anybody. In other words, anybody, everybody. Over here we're just talking about pain and we're talking about alleviating the pain. Okay. Tanya Nachamish Galya Omer Sinor. So let's say you have a pipe, what's it called? The gutter. And Shalaba Kaskasim. So in other words, and it got stuffed up. So Memachan Biragla Bitsina. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to kick it with your foot. And you can do so privately, b'Shabbos. And so what's going to happen now is that the water is going to be able to flow better. Ve'enu choshesh, my time. So misakin kalacha yadu. You're doing it al yidei shino. You're doing it in an unusual fashion. And since you're doing it in such an unusual fashion, so therefore it would be mutter. Umevakum seder lo gazer rabbanan. And if the gutter is not unclogged, so it's going to create a financial loss. So in other words, it's basically going to overflow into the house. And so as a result of that, so you can take care of it. You can kick it in. That will be a tikkun ayidei shinuin. And therefore it's going to be mutter. A point that is definitely worthwhile to get into a lot. I'm just going to raise it. Is that it says bitsina. It says that you'll do so privately. In other words, make sure people don't see you doing it. In other words, well, what's wrong with doing it publicly? What's wrong with doing it publicly? Is that it smacks of marasayin, meaning it's in other words, what you're doing is fine, but it doesn't look appropriate. So what you'll do is you'll do it privately. And Tosfos points out over here that kol makom shasru chachamim mimei marasayin, afilu b'chadri chadar maser. So it's very difficult to understand our Gemara because our Gemara allows for something to be done privately because me'ikar din it's mutter, even though if done publicly, it doesn't look good. But once something doesn't look good, you can't do it publicly, you can't do it privately either. Marasayin is going to be also across the board. Okay. And it demands an explanation in terms of why it is that over here it's okay to be doing this privately, to be unclogging your gutters privately. Okay, see Tosfos for more discussion on that very point. I'm Rav Yosef Halacha Nachamishkali. I think I read that already. Fine. Okay, Pireish Lachar Simbarabim Chodesh V'Chazar Kionik Sheketz V'Kama. So again, the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua, which we said is the Halacha, is that the child can nurse up until 4 or 5 years of age, as long as there was no break. What's a break? So Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Amar Shmuel Shoshi Yamim. 3 days is a break. Ika Da'amri Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Kamei Dishmuel Shoshi Yamim. Okay, different way in terms of who said it, but 3 days is a break. Tanu Rabbanan Menekes Shemes Ba'ala B'toch Esrim V'Arbim Chodesh, Harei Zolos Sisaris V'Losi Nasei. Okay, so the obligation of a woman to nurse her child. So let's say Rachmanis, her husband, died, and it was within 24 months of her having the baby. So she should not be accepting erusin from another man, and it goes without saying she should not be marrying another man as well, Esrim V'Arbim Chodesh, until 24 months, because at 24 months, now the baby can go ahead and move on to a diet of not nursing. Div Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, B'Shmona Asar Chodesh. Now Rabbi Yehuda allows her to accept erusin, and presumably also to get married at 18 months, meaning 18 months postpartum. Amar Rabbi Nasan Bar Yosef, Hain Div Rabbi Shammai, Hain Div Rabbi Shammai, V'Hain, Hain Div Rabbi Silo. Shammai, Shabbai Shammai Omrim, Esim V'Arba Chodesh, Shabbai Silo Omrim, Shmona Asar Chodesh. Okay, good, and no, this is also the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Silo. Amr Shimon Megamlil Ani Achriel Adivrei Omer Esim V'Arba Chodesh, Muteresli Nasib Esim V'Echad Chodesh. So if you hold 24 months, that means that she can get married at 21 months. And Adivrei Omer, Shmona Asar Chodesh, Muteresli Nasib Echamisha Asar Chodesh. Basically, what he was able to do was knock off 3 months. How was he able to do that? Because what happens is that even after pregnancy, it takes 3 months for the lactation to end. In other words, pregnancy will stop your lactation, but he's of the position, Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the position, that really takes 3 months. So it's really only 3 months into pregnancy that you stop lactating. So if you maintain that the baby needs to be nursed for 24 months, so what you can do is you can get married 21 months. The pregnancy may occur immediately. Fine. That's fine. Because then that's 3 months of pregnancies where you could still lactate. And then you're fine. You're going to get to 24 with this baby. On the other hand, if you hold that you only need 18 months of nursing, so then you can get married 15 months. And then again, same conclusion. Amar ula halachik Rabbi Yehuda, v'amar maruk v'lohita Rabbi Chanin laseis la'achar chamisha asar chodesh. So the ula is of the position that halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, which is that 18 months is all you need for nursing. Marukva testified, and he said that Rabbi Chanina did not allow a widow to get married until after 15 months. Fine. Arise de Abaye. Okay. The sharecropper of Abaye. Also, le kamed Abaye amar le. So the sharecropper said to Abaye, mau, le aris bechamisha asar chodesh. So can the widow go ahead and get married 15 months after she became a widow? So amar le chada Rabbi Yehuda. So first of all, you have a machlos Rameh Rav Yehuda. So we normally follow like Rav Yehuda. So and furthermore, va'od beishamay beisilah alachik beisilah. So and they allow to get married after 15 months. V'amar ula alachik Rav Yehuda. On top of that, ula also says alachas like Rav Yehuda. V'amar mar akiva. I'm sorry. V'amar mar ukva loite Rabbi Chanina laseis la'acher chamisha asar chodesh kol shekein da'at le'ares. So and Mar Ukva do not allow Rabbi Chanina, meaning when I say Rabbi Chanina, obviously meant vis-a-vis a widow, to get married until after 50 months. So over here, so for 50 months you're allowed to get married. So for sure, Arison would be acceptable as well. Okay. So in other words, basically question, answer, question. Can you marry a widow within, after 15 months? The answer is yes. Okay.
And she'll get
pregnant, and then she'll have 3 more months of nursing, and 18 months is all you need. Again, that's the accepted viewpoint.
Does it have to wait a year between Nisuin?
Well, if I could just sharpen your question a little bit. There does need to be a 3-month waiting time in order to establish paternity.
Right?
That's number one. Right? Over here, in other words, we're well beyond the 3-month point. So, but over here, she's got a child, and again, the child is at the point in time now where the child needs to be nursing from this woman. Otherwise, there'll be sakana for the child. So she has to nurse the child. Again, in terms of the finances, so maybe she'll get paid by the estate. Okay, that could be. But in other words, but the consideration over here now is the preservation of this child. Okay. Ki also lekame de Rav Yosef, amar le Rav Shmuel de Amrita Vayu, tzrichen lahamtin mesen var b'chodesh chutz miyam shenol abav v'chutz miyam shenesar sabam. Okay. And meanwhile, when they go to Rav Yosef said 24 months, okay, which is obviously much longer than what we've been discussing. We've been entertaining up until now, right? 18 months, right? Now cut 3 months off of that, 15 months. And now they go to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said 24 months. So, Rad Basre, Tlasa Parse. So now, when Abai hears this from Rav Yosef, so Abai basically is like, oh, we're in big trouble. Because I just gave a heter for a woman to go ahead and get remarried. And what were we talking about? 15 months? That's called 9 months too early. So so he runs after the woman. Now, the Amrilei Parsa Bechala. Now, some say he didn't run after a three Parsa, but he ran only one Parsa, but it was in the sand. In other words, however you want to say it, in other words, he hustled to go find this woman. And, Velo Adrache, but he didn't reach her. In other words, whatever. So Amar Abai Hamil Sadam Rabbanan Afilo Biyata Bekutcha Lalisha Inish Mamakum Rabbe. And Abai says, okay, so lesson learned. And we're going to finish today with an important lesson. And that is that Paskin Halacha is serious business. Okay, right? And here I'm looking right in the mirror. So, Paskin Halacha is serious business. And a simple question, like egg and milk. Okay, now it happens to be funny, by the way, simple question. Not totally clear in the Gemara what exactly the Shiloh was, right? In other words, was the Gemara asking, is an egg parv? Okay, that's something where you don't need a posik to tell you that an egg is parv. Okay, you can see Tosfos over here where Tosfos discusses exactly what the question is. But the point is, if I can just simplify the Gemara, you have a halachic Shiloh. It's not black and white. It's something that requires nuance and subtlety. And what? Lo lishrei nish b'mokum rabbe. If your rabbi's around, don't answer the question. So lo mishum demechli. Lo mishum demechli karafku. So lo mishum delamislay milsa lememra. And it's not just an issue of it's chutzpah dikin. No, the issue is that you may not be paskin correctly. You may not have the proper siyata d'shmaya. So daha ana hava gamina leilaha deravushmo v'afilahachi lo misay lemilsa lememar. The I learned by Rav and Shmuel, and still the I did not have the proper siyata d'shmaya, meaning I didn't paskin the halacha properly. Okay, so as a result of that, so I'm telling you right now, be very careful about paskin halacha if your rebbe's around. So don't paskin halacha when your rebbe's around. Make sure to consult with your rebbe before paskin the halacha. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up at the Tana Rabbanan, right in the middle of Samech Amud Beis. Let's recap. Let's review. Really easy stuff to review today. Meaning outside of, we started the Mishnah in the Testament Beis going over the Shibudim, the Maisei Adayim that a woman has to do in terms of services provided for her husband. So we went over the exact services that a woman needs to do. Can those services be swapped out if Shvachos are brought into the marriage? The Mishnah says yes. But you get to four Shvachos and now she doesn't have any services to do. And meanwhile, on that point, Rabbi Lazar says, I beg to disagree. In other words, even if you have four shvachos, even with 100 shvachos, she should be doing something, because inactivity, no good. And the Rashbag makes a similar point regarding a woman who makes a neder, and he's not going to be getting any benefit from her, and that's no good. And that's going to result in a divorce.
She's talking about what she brings in the servants.
Okay, could be.
What happens, he has.
Okay, same basic. I assume it's the same basic idea. Again, I don't know. I'm not poskening. I just learned I shouldn't be poskening. But I assume it's the same. So just a quick cleanup in the Mishnah regarding what exactly it means that she's tochein. The machine's tochein. She's not being tochein. Okay, but outside of that, the rest of today's daf from basically the bottom of Nun Testament base to where we got to right in the middle of Samach Amud Beis. And by the way, we're going to continue with topics of nursing. We talked about nursing. Number one, the shibud that she has to nurse the baby. At what point in time where the baby now is going to have recognition of the mother, to which now she is given the sole responsibility to nurse. Upon divorce, she no longer has a shibud. She can demand for compensation, financial compensation for nursing. We discuss the issues of issur v'heter. Is the milk of a woman, is it asur or mutter? The answer is it's mutter. But however, drinking from the tap after a certain age, so that's it's wildly inappropriate. It's asur, right? Hard to say it's asur midaraisa, probably asur midarabanan, but still. In other words, after a certain age, it's asur. What's that age? Good. That's a machlokas tanaim. Right, some Tanaim are of the opinion that 24 months, other Tanaim it's 4 to 5 years. Even the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, 4 to 5 years, if there's a break somewhere in the middle, after 24 months, so then it's inappropriate for the child to go back and to be nursing directly from the mother. Other aspects of nursing that we covered this morning, Adkan. We'll stop over here.